Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, everyone. This is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets, in the car while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to Fantasy Football Weekly, a production of iHeartRadio.
Time now for Fantasy Football Weekly from iHeartRadio, your weekly source for the nation's best fantasy football advice, speculation, and whatever stupid stuff they decide to drop into the show. Now here's your host, Paul Charchian.
Welcome to Fantasy Football Weekly. I'm Paul Charchian, and co-host today, Thor Nystrom, back. Another draft day edition of Fantasy Football Weekly.
It's draft season, baby.
God, I love it. It's the best. Just the speculation and the drama, the soap opera. God, we love this time of year. Hey, let me mention this as a new and exciting announcement for Fantasy Football Weekly listeners. We have created a Fantasy Football Weekly Discord channel. A channel dedicated to all the stuff we talk about on Fantasy Football Weekly. Break down players, ask for advice, episode feedback, talk other stuff, video games, whiskey, whatever you love. We've got channels waiting for you. Discord, you can get a link in the show notes, Thor, or you can go to just Discord, type in Fantasy Football Weekly, search us out. You'll find our channel. You'll find us there. Excited for you to join the community.
Join the Discord.
Yeah, join the Discord community. Fantastic. So that's up and running now. Already lots of great conversations happening on our Fantasy Football Weekly Discord channel. And again, you can get that link in the show notes. Today's topic, Dorks, we've broken down all the other meaningful positions. We just have tight ends left.
Yeah.
And we've got an amazing one in Brock Bowers. You and I talked about Brock going back a whole year and how he was going to be a lottery pick player, and we knew it last year. He did nothing in his senior, not a senior, junior. Is he a junior?
Junior year
to change anybody's mind here, I don't think.
Yep. No. And a guy that led Georgia in receiving yards two of his three seasons. Yeah. Of course, Georgia won the national title in two of those years.
Yeah, right.
Not only that, you know, we call him an offensive weapon. Kirby Smart said if they had used him at running back, Bowers would have been their best running back as well.
How about that?
And, you know, they just figured out all these kind of ways to manufacture touches for him, whether it was out wide, whether it was in the slot, whether it was, in line, whether they shifted him into the backfield. And they would do end arounds with him, like a Deebo Samuel at tight end sort of a thing.
Yeah.
The creative usage, and that is going to continue at the NFL level. Great athlete, obviously. The speed and change of direction are both elite. Super-duper skilled receiver.
Mm-hmm.
He was charted with a couple drops on PFF, and both of the ones were...
Were they dicey?
Yeah, well, it was like balls were anyone else. I don't think they would have given him drops,
okay.
Right? Like reeling out
but
balls.
But the standards for him are higher.
They absolutely are, because he can get to... You know, it's like back in the day with like Ozzie Smith, because he had such great range.
Yeah.
If a ball clanged off into his glove, someone else wouldn't have got to. They would have given him an error on it. But yeah, super-duper dangerous with the ball in his hands, and he facilitates that with the route-running machinations. Before that, he has an eye for detail with that. And then he becomes the broken tackle machine with speed when he has that ball in his hands. So that's why they Kirby Smart and that staff went to those lengths to manufacture opportunities for him to get the ball in his hands, because he had that speed. He has the agility. He has the power. He also is a decent blocker. You know?
How about that?
Yeah. I mean, he gets after it for sure. He does not take plays off. Of course, you know, his size, 6'3", 243, there's going to be some guys that can overpower him, but especially in space, he'll take care of who you need him to take care of. Very, very, very good player. And, of course, he's going to go somewhere in the top 15. A little bit fluid right now where that eventual landing spot is. Mm-hmm. But wherever he goes, it's going to be the same thing that you saw at Georgia. They will figure out all kinds of creative ways just to manufacture that ball into his hands.
We're talking about Brock Bowers from Georgia. And the word that I love that gets associated with Brock Bowers and why I get so excited, finisher. He, you know, when the ball gets in his hands, that's just the beginning for him, you know? And that dude is, it's like, all right, now it's game on. You know, and I love that about him, and I think that's part of why 26 touchdowns in 37 career starts.
1,000%.
But, you know, we're talking, you know, 0.8 touchdowns a game. Oh, for my tight end? I'm real interested in that.
Yeah, you know, with college players, you can tell the really elite ones by the way that the defense reacts to them and the defensive strategy of the coordinator heading into the game. With Georgia games, you would see the enormous amount of attention that was paid to Bowers pre-snap and then the delineation of coverage resources to him after the snap. Sometimes they couldn't stop him anyway.
Right.
But this always opened up spacing for the rest of his teammates. I remember when they slapped around TCU in that national title game.
Yeah.
TCU, they were trying to take Bowers away, but whenever they would rote double team him, it would leave someone open on the other side. Right. So it's sort of like pick your poison. But yeah, he is just so dangerous. And a different kind of a tight end too, let's say, than Kyle Pitts, you know, the last one that went as high as we think he's going to go. Bowers is more that guy, like I said, shift him around. You can do all these different kind of things with him.
Bowers, everybody's got pegged going to the Jets at 10. Honestly, I think he's a great value at 10. I think, you know, you could make a case for him going much higher.
Yeah.
But it makes sense where he'd go to the Jets at 10. Other possible landing spots, if he slides past the Jets, Denver could make sense at 12, Indy at 15, and Seattle. Yeah, I'm really fascinated by Seattle that has not had a meaningful tight end. I don't know how long it's been. I'm trying to remember the last good one.
Yeah.
You know, if Seattle at 16, I can see them moving up a few spots.
That would be a dangerous pass-catching core. You add him to DK and to Lockett into JSN.
I know, right?
Yeah, that's going to be a tough one to defend.
Wouldn't it be? So Seattle would be fascinating to see if they, and I think they'd have to move up a little bit, but maybe they don't have to move up that much.
Yeah, it's one to monitor because of the you know, you were sort of hitting on the positional value, the way the NFL sees that. It does open up the possibility of a potential quote-unquote fall beneath where he probably should go.
Yeah.
And to that point, there's that argument about what the franchise tag costs per position. And so this argument is sort of made against him. Like the amount of money you're going to have to give him initially, it's close to what the franchise tag is for tight ends. But on the other side of that, you could begin franchising Brock Bowers once his rookie contract is done and get him for way cheaper than he should be on the open market. This guy is more just, again, offensive weapon, pass catcher, get the ball in his hands, than he is comparable apples to apples to other tight ends.
The Vikings could move down from 11 to 16. Seattle moves up. Seattle's biggest needs are across the offensive line, guard and center. There's no guard and center that should go at 16. Mm-mm. Well, guard maybe, but that's a whole other conversation. All right, so that's Brock Bowers. We love him. He's probably going to have an immediate fantasy impact, and in any tight end mandatory league, he's somebody that's going to have to be taken early in your dynasty rookie draft.
For sure.
Let's go down one level, I think, and probably one full round down. Ben Sinnott from Kansas State. This is, I think you're a little higher on him than others as I'm looking at some other grades. Tell me what you love about Ben Sinnott.
There's, and I almost don't even want to evoke this name because I love this guy so much last process, and I don't want to put like that expectation on him, but his game reminds me a lot of Sam Laporta.
Oh boy.
It's a very similar frame, 6'4", 250, and the Raz 973. You see the athleticism with him on the tape. But the similar thing with Laporta, it's the tackle-breaking stuff and the lunch pail game that he has. He's very skilled at getting open right off the get. And then when he gets that ball in his hands and he turns into the runner, he has the agility with the power. So he can force off-angle attempts, arm tackle attempts, and he's going to run through them like turnstiles. And then he's one of those guys who becomes the best friend, you know, not only to the quarterback in the passing game, but to the runners as well. He is a vicious blocker.
Ooh.
He's the guy that you want as the lead guy, you know, heading out to the second level. He's going to destroy someone. You know, it's the seek and destroy kind of a thing. He sort of seems to savor that aspect of the game, very contact intensive. But yeah, you have a little bit of the athleticism there with that lunch pail thing, you know, to the point of why, you know, he's a little bit lower with the consensus. A couple things. He wasn't a ballyhooed recruit at all. In fact, he was totally overlooked. And then his arm length is on the shorter end, and that's something the NFL is going to ding you for. It's this. His teammate Cooper Beebe coming out was one of the best guards we had in college football the last couple of years, but he might fall down a little bit because of the shorter arms. It's the same thing with Sennett. You know, of my top, let's see, 12 guys, I think he has the shortest arms of the tight end class. But the other stuff all plays. You have the athleticism. You have the production profile. You saw him block in college. You could do all that kind of stuff with him. Another guy you can shift around the formation. He has plenty of experience in line, so you could do that with him. Versatile player, and I think he is definitely a fantasy guy, a fantasy asset that people need to monitor because of the pass-catching ability, the athleticism, and then the tackle-breaking afterwards.
I'd love to see Ben Sinnott find his way to Cincinnati later in the draft. Where he could walk
perfect.
Wouldn't that be glorious?
Perfect. Yeah.
Yep, T. Higgins gone.
Yeah, and, you know,
potentially.
They're a team that presumably. We've been pointing at – take a tight end for a couple of years now, and they probably should have done it last year.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
And they might be kicking themselves of, why didn't we just take Sammy Laporta? And now the next year, we get into day two, because I think Sennett's going to fall a little bit more than Laporta. You know, Laporta.
Early round two.
Yeah, and people out there need to remember, during Laporta's process, he was ranked where, you know, by the media, essentially where Sennett is now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, don't use that to discount Ben Sennett's game at all.
I don't have Cincinnati's full draft chart in front of me, but I'm assuming they pick 18th in the first. I'm assuming they have their second-round pick and that they're picking roughly 18th in the second. And if that's the case, that could be a Ben Sennett spot.
Yeah,
that would be really interesting.
They're at 49 and then 80.
Okay, 49 and 80. Okay, so 49. Yeah, 49's totally in play here. Yeah, absolutely. So that we'll see. Let's get one more in before we take a quick break. Jatavion Sanders from Texas. He's the next tight end on your list. I've seen, you know, only 7 touchdowns in 39 games worries me a little bit because I want touchdowns for my tight ends if I can get them, right?
For sure.
Those guys are special. Let's break down his game a little bit. What do you like about Jatavion Sanders?
Jatavion Sanders is a guy that I liked more off of film and his work during the season than what I've seen during the draft process.
Okay.
He did not help himself with a 5.73 RAS.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
And the reason why, it, you know, it's case specific with these tests and the athletic profiles, you know, with regards to the prospects. This one hurts because Jatavion Sanders can't block. He's a big receiver. He's a big slot is what he is.
Mm-hmm.
And you were hoping to see the athleticism becoming of that because you know you're not going to deploy him as a blocker at the next level. The testing profile dragged that down a little bit. Will he still be tight end two as he was seen as tight end two with a bullet coming into the process?
Mm-hmm.
Will he still be the second tight end taken in the draft? I'm not sure about that anymore. But he's 6'4", 245. Catch first tight end. He is skilled and he's very good down the seam, very smooth with that. He has plenty of experience playing inline at Texas, but like I said, I would not trust that guy to be blocking out of inline. He's going to get ragdolled.
Mm-hmm.
He has to be the big slot. So it's just going to depend on, does he have the athletic trump cards? Does he have does he have enough? We know he doesn't have the trump cards. Does he have enough athleticism for his game to be able to translate one-to-one, the receiving aspect of it, to the next level? But I saw the the speed, acceleration, agility on film, he appeared to move better as a route runner on film than he tested. I like his core strength and balance. He does not get jarred when he's running his routes. He also has a high conversion rate in contested scenarios, which I think is important here when you're talking about going to that next level when you're facing the elite athletes, mm-hmm. especially if that's something that he has to overcome. He was very good at that. He doesn't break many tackles, but if you hit him on the hands in space, he is a yak guy because he smoothly transitions from the receiver to the runner thing, gets up field, starts running, has pretty good vision. But yeah, he will not be a blocker at the next level. He's got to make it as a big slot.
It's a bad sign.
Bad sign.
You know, in my experience, players who don't have a natural fit at any one position fail at all of them. You know, and I would get worried that I'm thinking of like the Iowa State wide receiver from like 3 years ago who they, you know, like was too big and slow to be a wide receiver.
Hakeem Butler.
Yep. Super productive, like all these acrobatic catches and stuff. And I was really excited for what I thought could be a decent NFL career. But he was a player without a position. And I worry that that's a little bit of what we've got with Jatavion Sanders, a player without a position size and skill set. Let's take a break. When we come back, I want to get to Tight End University, Iowa.
Yeah.
You like Eric All a lot more than some other people. Let's talk about him. He started at Michigan, ends up at Iowa. Let's talk through him when we come back.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables. Ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Welcome back. Paul Charchi and Thor Nystrom with you. You can follow Thor on Twitter at Thor KU, like Kansas University.
Rock,
you got it. At Paul Charchian as well. And again, check out our Discord server. Go to the show notes, click on the link there, and or just look for Fantasy Football Weekly on Discord. Eric All was, I don't know, 3 years, 4 years in Michigan,
mm-hmm.
And then left Michigan, which is like, why do you leave Michigan? Goes to Iowa, which is, I guess, the one place a tight end can go where it makes some sense. Tell me why you like Eric All a little bit more than some others. I've seen him ranked as low as like 10, 11, 12 in some rankings, but you're a lot more optimistic. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, I think he's getting slept on, and it's good symmetry to talk about him right after we brought up Sam Laporta. Eric Gall was imported to replace Sam Laporta,
yeah,
and
right?
He went right into the inline spot that Laporta had played and then became the same sort of aspect of the offense. Mm-hmm. Of course, Iowa's offense is terrible, and they
right.
just
right.
funnel a bunch of usage from this terrible passing game into good tight ends, and Eric Gall certainly is that and was that. At Michigan, he was the move guy, the H-back guy, more the sort of the niche pass game stuff. Then he had a back injury that ended his season in 2022. There was a disagreement about whether to get surgery or not.
Mm-hmm.
That ultimately, you know, cutting the season short, that ultimately led to him transferring.
Spinal surgery, by
yeah.
the way,
yeah.
for Eric Gall. You know what? That doesn't ever make me feel better.
No.
Yeah.
And he is going to be a big medical guy where your team's medical staff is going to poke around in there, and they need to give him – obviously not a clean bill of health, but you need to know what the risk of re-injury is,
mm-hmm.
you know, how elevated is that? And then he comes off an ACL tear in October. So we're getting the scary stuff out of the way first. Now he's rehabbing from the ACL tear.
Right, right.
Which is the reason he did not work out during the pre-draft process.
Of course.
So the health caveats aside, right? Like Eric Gall needs to be healthy at the next level. And I think that's why some people rank him maybe
right.
a little bit lower. Now, this is a big if, I grant you, but if Eric Gall is healthy at the next level, or healthy-ish, if he has season-long periods where he's healthy, he is going to be a steal not only in the NFL draft, mm-hmm. but obviously for fantasy players as well. Eric Gall, 6'4.5", 252 pounds. Like I said, he did not get to test. If he did get to test, I think he would have run the fastest 40 time of any tight end. The guy who did that was Theo Johnson with a 4.57, the Penn State kid we're going to talk about in a second.
Yeah.
But Eric Gall, interestingly enough, you see multiple instances of this on tape, but one sort of proof of concept I have on this idea, against Penn State, he caught a ball, accelerates around the corner around Kalen King, and then it became a foot race. Eric Gall separated away from Kalen King down the
Ooh.
Field. Kalen King runs a 4.52.
Wow, all right.
Draft
yeah.
prospect in,
nice.
In this class. I think Eric Gall was going to perhaps run a high 4.4s 40, just didn't get the opportunity. I also like his change of direction on the field. Pretty solid route runner. The best thing about his route running is he accelerates quickly out of route breaks and then gets back to top speed. There's a few concentration drops. That's the one thing I'd want for him to clean up. But I like his ball skills. He's one of those guys that works back to the ball, attacks it in the air, full extension. I comp him, you know, interestingly, we also had brought up the Seattle tight end room
yeah.
and former Iowa guys.
There's a
lot of Noah Fant in his game. Yeah. When he's healthy, the first six games of this past season at Iowa, when he was on the field prior to that ACL tear, he was putting up numbers comparable to most other tight ends in the nation. Like he was way up there in terms of just the counting stats and certainly yards per route run. He might have even been first. But then, you know, of course, what happened. But I see if he is healthy at the next level, I think it's a Noah Fant-like skill set.
All right. That's Eric Gall from Iowa. Why did he leave Michigan?
Because of the back injury, and then they didn't think he should get surgery, but he thought he should get surgery.
Okay. So it was a little trust broken there.
Yeah, it was. And there was a weird deal. Like, not all of it got out, but we knew that there was a disagreement.
Mm-hmm.
And then right after that, he summarily announced his transfer.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay. All right. Cade Stover from Ohio State grew up helping raise cattle and pigs and farming hay, corn, and soybeans. His teammates call him Farmer Gronk. Stover has an NIL deal with an agriculture company called AgPro, and he plans to return to farming after his playing days. He says, I just want to go play ball and then come home and go back on the farm.
This is incredible.
You got to love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tip of the hat to Dane Brugler, who sprinkles that stuff into the beast, and which is great. Cade Stover, Ohio State, talk to me about him.
Yeah, true renaissance man, Cade Stover. Was also a former star prep basketball player and Ohio's Mr. Football coming out of high school. It's such an interesting profile. He signed with Ohio State actually as a four-star linebacker. And when he came out, 247 Sports in the recruiting bios, mm-hmm. they'll do scouting reports and then comp them to a current NFL player if they're a high enough recruit. They comped Cade Stover coming out of high school to Anthony Barr.
Wow, interesting. Yes. Okay.
He was going to be getting after it there from the outside linebacker spot. When he gets to Ohio State, they were working with him on the edge initially, so it was defensive end and linebacker as a freshman. He moved to tight end as a sophomore in 2020. Then Cade Stover briefly switches back to defense late in 2021 before he finally got to play tight end for two full seasons, the last two. Some of my notes on him, springy athlete, skilled receiver, very good hands, very, very good hands. Mm. Only two drops on 100-plus targets the last two seasons.
Love it.
And I like – so with his route running – He's not like the Brock Bowers guy with that, but I like where he's at with how new he is to the position. He seems to have a pretty good understanding of route running concepts, despite being a neophyte to the position. I love the stop-start ability with guys into and out of route breaks. It's where you can create that separation, and he can do that. The thing he does not have is the high-end deep speed. But the stuff in the short and intermediate game is certainly going to do. He's coming along as a blocker. I like the way he uses his length, and he understands leverage. He also takes good angles, different stuff like that. But he needs to continue working on the overall technique and certainly the core strength for that to become upper echelon at the NFL level. 6'4", 247, 8.22 Raz. I comped him to Hayden Hurst.
My worries on drafting Cade Stover onto my fantasy roster would be he's so green at the position that in tight ends already take time to develop. I worry that my payoff in Cade Stover is going to be like 2026.
That's the concern.
And that would be my worry from a fantasy aspect.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Last guy that I want to hit on. Theo Johnson from Penn State. I saw just okay productivity from him, and I would like to have seen a little bit more, but that's, this is just me looking at a handful of plays and looking at stat lines. Tell me about Theo Johnson.
Yeah, he was the talk of Indianapolis as far as this position group went, because he just dominated athletic testing. And it's like, we get these Penn State guys every year that just test ridiculous.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're doing down there, but with Theo Johnson, 6'6", 259.
Dang.
993 Raz.
Wow.
99th percentile athlete. And he did all the tests, including the agility stuff. It was very impressive. I mentioned the 4.57 speed before.
Mm-hmm.
The surprising aspect to me wasn't necessarily the speed, because north-south, he's really good. What surprised me was the agility.
Mm.
Because on film, he does not change directions that fluidly. It sort of reminded me of the year before with Zach Kuntz, how he had tested in the agility drills and tested elite, but on film, he changed directions like a cruise ship.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly enough, Zach Kuntz began his career at Penn State.
And interesting.
He had left because Pat Freiermuth, had him affixed to the bench. Then, and now we have Theo Johnson coming out, ends his career there. He got the development. Obviously, he was in the strength and conditioning program that turns out all these awesome testers during the pre-draft process. But being at Penn State complicates his evaluation a little bit. And this gets back to your point chart. So they ran 12 personnel, but had this super risk-averse passing offense. They were led by the foot of their run game, but they wouldn't let their five-star quarterback, Drew Allar, throw down the field. Why this matters for Theo Johnson is, I think his best thing, when we think about him for the next level, threatening the seam. He gets off the line quick, and he gets north-south super quick. And he has decent enough ball skills. I think down the field is where the receiving utility with him would be. Where you would be misusing him would be on quick in and out breaking stuff, short and intermediate. Well, that's all they were using their tight ends for.
Mm.
So the passing production, the receiving production wasn't quite there with him. And there would be long stretches of games where he would disappear as a receiver. I would suggest that was both a usage issue and then endemic to their offensive strategy as a whole. But he is Theo Johnson, obviously one of the best size athleticism combinations in this tight end class, if not the best, but very inconsistent production on the field. Like I said, you see the flashes, but yeah, he needs to get worked on. He needs to be used a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if he's ever going to be that efficiency machine that Penn State wanted him to be in that specific role.
So with Theo Johnson, you're buying traits. You're buying traits and saying, you know what, in time we can develop him.
It's sort of like a Luke Musgrave thing, sort of, from last year, you know, with how well he tested. And then you saw flashes on film, but it wasn't enough of them. For Musgrave, it was for differing reasons, the injuries. But with Theo, he was on the field, and we've gotten to see him play in line in a pro-style-ish offense.
Yeah.
It's just if the usage was different with him, I think potentially then he could play up. You know, we talked about Musgrave last process. The most impressive thing that we had seen with him was winning downfield. Again, we just didn't get to see enough of that with Theo because of the way Penn State played football.
That's Theo Johnson from Penn State. We will circle back with you after the draft. Not the Friday of the draft, but the Friday after that. I would like to book you now.
I'm in.
And let's break down all the big moves. And that might be some more tight ends we're not talking about. Maybe it's Dylan Holker, whoever. You know, who knows? Well, you know, there could be a surprise. Somebody jumps into the third round, and it's a perfect spot. The Bengals pick a tight end in the third round. We're talking about it.
We're all going to be crossing our fingers.
Right, yeah. So there's going to be some great opportunities there. Terrific job breaking down Bowers, Sinnott, Sanders, Eric All, Cade Stover, Theo Johnson. Thank you.
Appreciate it, Church.
All right. Talk to you later, my man. Thank you for listening, everybody. We'll be back with more Fantasy Football Weekly next week.
Fantasy Football Weekly is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You wouldn't expect to hear that we're America's third best city for beer like this one. Or home to vibes like this. And this. It might surprise you that we're top 10 for immersive art that's like,
whoa.
And,
hmm.
Not to mention, we have one of the top zoos in the country. So can a city with the country's best pro soccer team, ranking as a top culinary destination in the world, be in your own backyard? Yes, Columbus. Plan your summer at experiencecolumbus.com/summer.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.